And this is an exciting time of year because there's not a whole lot of guarantees in life, but we are guaranteed one every single Christmas. And that is that this year's Hallmark movies are going to be just that much cheesier than last year's are going to be. And I know that we can already anticipate into 2022, we're going to get that same little increase in cheesiness. And I don't know about you guys. You guys watch the Hallmark movies. We are all about the Hallmark movies in my house. And I mean, you know the old saying. It's like, what has three writers, four actors, and five plot lines? 8,972 Hallmark movies. I didn't make that up. That somebody else made that up, but it's so true. And we watch that, and you know how the situation unfolds in the Hallmark movies. It's like you see just this ordinary person, and they're having a man. Are they down and out in December? But then all of a sudden, this twist of fate happens, and they're a lost love perhaps is rekindled. And oh, but this is someone I never would have taken interest in. I might have taken interest in, but nobody else would have known that, because secretly this person annoys me. But this time there's something about them. Oh, we're about to fall in love, and then the plot twist. Oh no, one of them is offered a job in a new state, and they have to move away, maybe in a new country, perhaps in a parallel universe. This is going to part. But at the 11th hour, at 11th and a half hour, in fact, the miracle happens. And Ebenezer Scrooge shows up with the Thanksgiving turkey for everyone, and the Grinch's heart grows 5,000 sizes bigger, and Christmas is saved for the orphans, and George Bailey gets an angel his wings, and Kevin McAllister, despite being left home alone, saves the entire neighborhood from the Wet Water Bandits, or whatever their names are. And these Christmas, it's the Christmas magic. It's the Christmas miracle. And you know, it's interesting, in fact, that even the unbelievers will recognize the Christmas time is like I said, it's the Christmas magic. It's the season of miracles. It's the Christmas spirit that comes upon them. And there is always a change in these characters here that we see in these books. I mean, always there's the books and the movies and the films, and there's a change in one of the characters, and then they go out and they share it with everyone. But it's not just the change that happens. I mean, that would be a terrible ending to a book or a movie. I think everybody would leave completely unsatisfied. I mean, imagine the scenario where Ebenezer Scrooge is suddenly changed, and he talks to the three ghosts of Christmas past and present and future, and within the course of the night realizes something profound about himself and his past and his future, and he's a changed man, and he's running up and down the street, and he's shouting, "I'm a new man! I'm a new man!" And then he goes to Bob Cratchit's house and says, "Well, you're fired, and there is no Christmas turkey, and I'm not paying for any of Tiny Tim's medical bills." What kind of an ending is that? It would, like, you would be so disappointed. And if with the Grinch, he stole all of the presents from the poor Whos, and all of a sudden Cindy Lou Who makes his heart just break and grow larger, and he wants to give away everything, but instead he doesn't. He keeps all the presents for himself, and now all the hoo-hoos and the whiz-poppers and the hoo-bangs and the whatever they are, they all go home crying and living sadly in their snowflake. And what kind of an ending would this be? Everybody would get up and leave. They would like Scrooge more when he was a jerk rather than running around giving people false hope. It's the change. And then it is what they do with that change afterwards that makes the movie incredible. They're going around and they are somebody's Christmas miracle. It's the unlikely people. They always pick the unlikely ones that show the change. And that's what it's all about. I mean, they're looking at the change and peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And my question to you, before we get started, is have you ever been anyone's Christmas miracle? Doesn't have to be in a big way. I mean, a lot of these people that we see, in the Hallmark movies and even, just these other stories, these are just regular, everyday people. And a change comes on them, and then they give that change away. They pay it forward. They want to go out and do something. For us, it would be showing the love of God. Have you ever been a Christmas miracle for someone? Is there anybody that if they were making a movie of this person's life, they would be down and out in December and moping around, hanging their head, not seeing how anything is going to turn out right? And then at the 11th hour, Wyatt Ware shows up, and now everything has changed for the better. And or would we be the person in the background that simply walks by and sees them, knows that we could help, but well, my cookies are about to burn. I've got to go home. And that's our appearance in the movie. And I think that, you know, being somebody's Christmas miracle, being the reason that somebody smiles this Christmas, that's something that is, it doesn't have to be a profound thing. It's in so many simple ways, so many opportunities that we have to do this every single day of our lives. It's not in these big things. Well, one day I'm going to grow up and I'm going to get this job. I'm going to save up lots of money and then I'll do something important. We have opportunities every single day, every last day, no matter our situation, to go out and just make a difference. It could be a smile. It could just be, I mean, the value of a smile from a stranger to somebody who is having a bad day. It's crazy. Even this past week for me, I had a student, and he came in. He was in the 12th grader, and I just saw him. You know, he just broke down. He just stood up, went, put his head against the wall, was having the hardest time. And I asked him what was wrong. And he says his family pet that he's had his entire life is, you know, kind of at the end. And I went home that night, and I just sent him an email. And it took me all of, I don't know, 30 seconds to send it. And it's like, hey, I was just thinking about you. I'm sorry you're going through this. I hope you're having a rough time. And we all, you know, we know what that's like. I'm sorry. And he showed up the next day, and he just said, thanks for checking in on me. My friends didn't even do that. And all of a sudden, I just felt like, wow. And that was, it was something that was so simple to do. I don't know. It was my good deed for the day. And man, I can't even tell you that I did something more profound than send an email. It was just so simple, but something all of us could do. And let's move in and let's check out the first verse right here. Here it is. We get the Christmas story from the book of Luke. It's never Christmas for me until I start hearing this. And then, lo, in the same country, shepherds kept watch over their flocks by night. And I see Charlie Brown saying it. And it's got to have that Christmas story from the book of Luke. But in those days went out from Caesar, a decree from Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be registered. I'm sure that was a very popular decree to have happen. And this was the first registrations when Quirinus was the governor of Syria. And all went out to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the land of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who is with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the inn. And this is the, man, we know this Christmas story, and we've probably imagined this in many ways. I mean, them going to the inn and giving birth there in the stable. And I mean, we see that in the nativity scenes, and we hear about it in all the Christmas songs, and it's just one of the things that just comes to our minds is this visit to the inn. And the innkeeper is often painted in different pictures. I mean, I've seen him, you know, sometimes. The Bible never really talks a lot about him, who this innkeeper was. Just know that they went to his inn. And sometimes you'll see the innkeeper in some plays or things like that, and he'll be this very greedy fellow, and he's just happy that everybody's coming from everywhere to stay in his inn, and he's upping the prices on everything, and he just can't wait. And now Joseph and Mary are here, and here's one more couple that I can charge to stay in my stable. And you see him portrayed in that way. Some places will say, "Oh man, we're gonna show a very compassionate side of him." And you know, sort of like 2 weeks ago when we were talking about the mother of Mary. Now she's somebody that we don't know a lot about, but we would just look at the culture and you know what is said and maybe what could have happened. And we've got a clip right here of what that visit to the inn might have looked like, told from the perspective of the innkeeper's son. Let's go ahead and check that out.
My pop had this way about him. Made me so angry. So I'd come to him with an idea. Could be big or small. Usually it was something I thought would spruce things up around here a bit. And every time, every single time, as if he were reminding me of something, he'd pat me on the back and say, "Thank you, boy." Then he'd go on about his business. It's just his way. You know, a lot of people didn't know it, but Bob couldn't read. Now, he'd have me do his reading for him. I remember that day that he came in. He came to me with a notice that had been tacked to the front door of the inn, saying that the government was calling for a census. Well, I didn't have to read that all the way through to know what that meant. Yeah, it meant that people from all over were about to arrive in droves, and they were going to need a place to stay. I said, "Pop, we got to get busy. We got work to do. We need to expand our footprint. This little inn of ours is only going to hold a handful of people." I even drew up plans, pushing for profits in every corner that I could. I was ready. Yeah, I knew it. It was time for me to take over the family business. Become the innkeeper. I was 14. The pop patted me on the back and said, "Thanks, boy." And went on about his business. It wasn't long before Bethlehem was busting at the seams. Oh, gosh, we'd never seen so many people. And where was I? Yeah, I was washing linens and sweeping and cleaning out the stables. Picture this, I'm standing there in the stall. The door opens, I turn and see them standing right there. This poor man and his wife, and she was great with child. Yeah, she's pregnant, and Pop told them that they could stay in the barn. He'd lost his mind. There the three of us were. Me, this panicked husband, and this woman in pain, and I knew what that pain meant. It meant that baby was coming, and it was coming now. So what did I do? I was 14. I didn't know what to do. And then, in walks Pop. He's got blankets and water, and he's handling it. He was doing what he always did, saving me. And that night, he saved them too.
But you could never convince Pop that he was a hero that night. No, I can still hear him. He'd say, "Boy, all I did was make room that night." The hero that night was God coming down to save us all.
So there you see somebody, I mean, like the innkeeper's son said, you could never convince my dad that he did much. He did something small. It's what he had to give. I don't have much, but I will give that. I will do what I can, what I am able to do. And God will take it and run with it, because the Bible tells us little is much when God is in it. What you have doesn't have to be profound. It will be made to be profound. You can have the biggest impact on somebody with God working through you. And you may never know exactly how big of an impact that you will have. Got this next verse, going to the book of James. And he says, so what is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but he doesn't have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed, and they're lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace and be warmed and filled without giving them the things that are needed for the body, what good is that? I mean, look at that again. If somebody is in desperate need, and they don't have clothes and they don't have food, I mean, you remember how the pastures and the sheep and the goats goes, and he says, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, and I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. And he said, well, when did I do that? When you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. But can you picture the opposite? I was so thirsty. I was so thirsty that day, and I literally could not even get a cup of water from you. Well, when was that? You did it to the, you know, it was the least of these people, at least in your eyes. I love these people. I love that person. They were thirsty. Didn't give them a drink, though. Didn't give them anything to eat. How easy would that have been to hand them a bottle of water? And so it says, faith also by itself, if it doesn't have works, it's dead. You may remember Rich Mullins, who wrote the song Awesome God. And he has another song that I think of. And the line in the song, he's talking about faith without works and how useless it is. And says, you know, faith without works, that is as pointless as a screen door on a submarine. I mean, that's like having a solar-powered flashlight, or it's like getting a black highlighter or some smooth sandpaper, something like that. What on earth are you going to do with that? That's like having an ejection seat on a helicopter. What on earth is the point of having... That's actually a graphic image. Don't picture that. But what on earth would anybody do with those things if you got them? If anybody gave those things to me, I would re-gift them to Troy next year. That's all I would do. It's pointless. What on earth is it to, I mean, like we said earlier, what on earth good is it for Ebenezer Scrooge to run around and shout that he is a new man and then not do anything about it? That's a terrible ending to a story. Everybody wants to see the gift that keeps on giving, and they want to see God gave us the gift of Jesus, and it changed our life, and then we go out and give it to other people. We don't want to be the people that get returned to God saying, I think this model's broken. I don't know. This gift just stopped, does not give anything anymore. But to everyone around us, and if someone says to you, you have faith and I have works, well, show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And if you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and they shudder. Now hold that part right there. This is a nod back to the Shema that we talked about 2 weeks ago from the book of Deuteronomy. You believe well that God is one. Remember, this is what the Jewish people would get up, the Shema, and they would say it every morning. They would say it every night. It's put into music. They would sing it, that God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And James is saying, okay, so you've said, that's good. You've said that you believe in God. Fantastic. The demons, they also believe that. And that makes them shudder. So, I don't know. Can you take me farther than that? Is there any other difference besides the fact that you have, this is what you have to offer, to come to the world and say, Yeah, I believe that there is a God, and that's it. Is there anything else besides just that? And go ahead to the next verse there. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person? That's harsh right there. You want to be shown, you foolish person, you fool, that faith apart from works is useless. Now, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see, faith was active. His faith was active, along with his works. And by faith was completed by his works. And in the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. And in that story of Abraham, what would that have been like if he simply acknowledged God and then the story ended there? And God spoke to him, well, we need a sacrifice, so it just ended there. Nope, I don't think I will. But I do acknowledge you, God. What kind of a story I wonder if that would have even made it in the Bible. What would there have been to write about right there? But it was by taking his son and saying, I will do this sacrifice because I do have this faith, and God has asked me to do this. But you see that a person is justified by works and not faith alone. As the Bible says, you're going to know the tree by the fruit that it bears. Right there. If I were to come to you, you can tell yourself something all that you want. I could tell myself something all that I want. I could come to you and I could tell you, hey guys, I don't know if you know this about me. I don't tell many people, but for years I was a world-class basketball player and I could slam dunk literally every time. Now, I could tell you that. I could tell myself that. But you might be thinking, how big was this net? What do you mean you slam dunk? Were you on stilts? And your next question is, I don't want to discount you, but could you show me? Could we see this? If we put up could you show us? Do you have a video footage even? Has anybody else ever seen that you slam dunk that we could verify this story? Because I'm having trouble. I've never seen it. And, it's the same thing. You could go out and tell them how completely full you are of the love of God. And they've never seen it. They've never seen anything like it before. I'll tell you what, I told you one of my proud moments of earlier this week. So I'll tell you an embarrassing moment for me, but I remember it was there was a group that was coming through, and it was a big Christian group, and they were going to do a play, and it was the end was going to was going to have an altar call and an invitation and lead everyone to the salvation message, and it was supposed to be a thing where you would invite your unsaved friends and you come out and such. And so I'm always interested in the theatrical shows, so I invited my good friend Jeff, and of course many of you will remember Jeff was in youth group with us back in the day, Jeff Hoyer. So you'll just be able to picture this moment with them all the more. And we're sitting there and we're watching the thing. And afterwards, this guy comes up to me afterwards. And he was a guy that I also knew. I had seen him around, and he comes up after me, but we'd never really talked much. And he came up and sat down and says, "Now, do you know that if you were to die today, would you be able, to stand before God and say that you could go into heaven?" And I said, "Yes, I do, because I have faith in Jesus." And Jeff just looks at me and is like, "That guy had to come over and witness to you? You must be a terrible witness. Why did that guy not even know that?" And I'm sitting there like, "Jeff, just shut up. I'm like, that was not one of my banner days right there." And the whole drive, I'm driving Jeff home. So that guy, you never even once hinted to him. You never did. How long has that guy known you for? Jeff, just leave me alone. You know, again, not one of my banner days right there. And then, you know, that, and that's always stuck with me. That probably happened 25 years ago. And to this day, I'm thinking, like, why didn't I get to that guy first? Why did he have to come over to me? That's an embarrassment right there. We'll keep reading. In the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? Boy, this is Rahab. Right there in the camp of the enemy, her life was on the line. I mean, man, we just went talking about some simple works, like give somebody a cup of water or some food or give them some clothes. Wow, now we just escalated. Here is Rahab literally putting her life on the line for these spies so that they could get out. Can you imagine if she would have been caught? She was a prostitute as it was. Her life would have been worth nothing to these people, especially, you know, she's caught helping these people. But she does, and she helps them, and she got a place, right, in history because of that. And for as the body, apart from the spirit, is dead, so also is faith, apart from works, is dead. And it's just something to really keep in mind. And again, I ask you, could you be somebody's Christmas miracle? Even in a small way. Remember, you don't have to do anything necessarily profound for God to profoundly use that action. You think of that boy that just came with his loaves of bread and fish, and boy, that wasn't much. And yet, God used that to feed everybody that was there. Thousands and thousands of people. Just because somebody was willing to share their lunch. And you think of the story of the woman who came forward when everybody was accepting money, and she came forward and everybody was giving so, you know, lots and lots of large amounts of money. She comes forward with just this teeny little bit to the point where people are laughing at her. They're making fun of her. They're saying that, what an insult. Hey, look at this, man. Look at this lady. This other guy, he just gave all this money. She comes in with this one little thing dropped in the bucket. Wow. And, you know, and yet God recognized her because that was literally everything that she had. It wasn't a lot, but she gave what she could. And those are the things that God recognizes. And again, just go back to just how we started. These stories that we hear so often, they're just about everyday people. I mean, everyday people, just like you and me. And yet, the Christmas spirit within them, which is, you know, for us, the Holy Spirit, we were changed. And we can so profoundly change other people. And we see it, again, even in the story of the innkeeper. This wasn't, it's not described as like, you know, some five-star hotel with some hugely important innkeeper. It was just a fellow that had an inn and just a fellow that could do something. It may not have been a lot, but he could do something. And he did it. Rahab, she may not have been able to do a lot, but she did it. She saved lives. She was recognized. And now what can all of us do? Leave the question right there. And just one final analogy. You know, when you're little and you're in school and you go to the time in class where it's show and tell time. And I think that tell, if it were just tell time, the stories would be a whole lot more entertaining. Because my dad did this. My dad did this. My dad built me a rocket ship, and I fly in it to Mars. And my dad, all these tall tales. I mean, people can say anything they want to. Often when we're little, we do. I mean, I love hearing the stories that kids will come up with. And yet show and tell, when you actually bring it in and you demonstrate, and people can see it and like, whoa, you know, this is my new puppy. Or like, look, this is my goldfish. And they're showing. They're not just telling the story about it. They're not just convincing you just by word of mouth. But they're actually bringing it in and showing. And it's the great challenge right now. Just as all these other characters at Christmas have been changed. We're Christians. God is living in us. We have been changed. And let's continue. And let's continue to make the change in other people. Let's pray. So, Father in heaven, we thank you so much just for these stories. Thank you for the change that you have made in us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for sending Jesus to earth. And we just pray right now, God, that we could be a Christmas miracle for somebody, that we, in just some way, somehow, something that we do, that we all go out and make somebody's day a little bit better, make their month a little bit better, show your love just through our actions, that you would just be there in us and directing us and leading us to these people, that we could have a part in leading them to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.